chain shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise.
Spring, oh. That was awesome. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's good to see what the Lord has done in your life over the last several years. Well, turn to your neighbor and tell them Merry Christmas. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas, my friend. It's a great, great joy to be with y'all. It's good to see you. Good to have the Armbrust here with us tonight. And the Learns are here. And Ron and Juanita are here. Good to have y'all. And I don't know if I'm missing anybody else, but if I am, the Gardeners. Who said the Gardeners? Good to have all of y'all here. Hallelujah. Bless you. After the service tonight, if you would like to be a part, there are refreshments that will be in Bradley Hall, and you're welcome to hang out and have refreshments. I know that, you know, your time is critical, so if you have to go, that's fine too, but they are available, and you're welcome to stay for that. So I'm really excited to be with you tonight. I love this time of year. I love this service. It's one of my favorite services. This will be the 18th Christmas Eve service that I have preached, and I love each and every one of them. And I was thinking, what could I share about Christ's birth that might be a little different? You know, Lord, what is it? And I felt like the Lord gave me something, and I want to share with you something out of the Scripture. And it was kind of like Christ's birth from His perspective. And there was a time in the Scriptures where Jesus did speak about His birth and His reason for coming. And it's in John 18, and it's on the screen here, when Jesus is before Pilate. It's at the end of His life when He's being brought to Pilate and He's being judged and that trial, so to speak, there. And Pilate asked Him if He was a king. And it says in John 18, 36, Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If My kingdom were of this world, My servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now My kingdom is not from here." Note that. "But now My kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to Him, "Are You a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears My voice." So Jesus said that when Pilate asked Him if He was a king, Jesus gave kind of like two reasons that He came. One, "You say rightly that I am a king, for this cause I was born." Not because of this I was born, but for this cause I was born. And there's something about the power of a cause. You know, David said, "Is there no cause in Israel?" The power of a cause will drive people. It brings purpose. It's a reason as to why you're doing what you're doing, or you're passionate about what you're passionate about. It's worth fighting for. And He said, "Yes, I'm a king, and this is My cause. I have a kingly cause." And you remember when the Magi came and they said, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews?" And He gave another cause. He said, "And for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." Hallelujah. The second thing, to bear witness to the truth. You know, we have heard this term in the past several weeks with this impeachment thing going on. The term fact witness. Have any of y'all heard that? Is there any really fact witnesses? Someone that has personal firsthand encounter with the situation. A fact witness. And Jesus is saying, "I have come to bear witness to the truth. I am coming to be a witness, to demonstrate the kingdom." His words and His deeds testified of his kingship. We see that one of the first things that Jesus said after the Holy Spirit came upon him, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." The kingdom of God is near you. Jesus left the glory of heaven, came to earth with a kingly cause. He came to reclaim his kingdom. He said, the people said of him, even when he was little, they talked of his wisdom. And when he got up and read out of the book of Isaiah about the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and those things. It says when he returned to his seat, all the eyes of everyone was fixed on him because he taught and he spoke as one who had authority. And that's because he did have authority. Hallelujah. He had a presence about him. He gave kingly decrees, orders, statutes. His very first sermon, the one they call the Sermon on the Mount, he would say things like, "You have heard it said, thou shalt not commit murder. But I say unto you, do not even be angry with your brother without a cause. You have heard it said, you should not commit adultery. But I say unto you, don't even look at a woman to lust after her." He came as a king, and he wanted to get his kingdom into the hearts of his followers. Hallelujah. He came and he demonstrated the power of the kingdom. He did notable miracles. He healed blind eyes. He touched people that were lame and they were able to walk. One of my favorites is the four men that brought the man that was paralyzed, and they couldn't get into the house where Jesus was. So they went up on the roof, and the four of them carried their friend, and they pushed the ceiling tiles out of the way, and they lowered their friend down in front of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to that man, and he said, "Your sins are forgiven you." And the religious leaders were sitting around there, and they thought, nobody can forgive sins but God. This man is speaking blasphemies. And Jesus knew their thoughts. And he says, "I have a question for you. Which is easier, to heal this sick man or to forgive his sins?" He didn't say which is harder. He said, "Which is easier?" And he said, "That you may know that I have power on earth to forgive sins, I say to this man, rise, take up your bed and walk." And he rose up and he took his bed and he walked. Kingly cause. Hallelujah. So he demonstrated the power of God's kingdom, of his kingdom, with miracles, with forgiveness of sin, raising Lazarus from the dead. The biggest reason, one of the biggest reasons to celebrate Jesus is because his birth is a major step into the reclamation of his kingdom. Hallelujah. Jesus came to bring his self into this world, his kingdom into this world, to demonstrate it, to give it us a taste of what it's like, to cause us to yearn for it, and one day it will be totally revealed. You see, the original purpose and plan of God is to establish and extend his kingdom into other areas. In Genesis 1, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the seas and the fowl of the air." That word dominion, let them have dominion, that is a kingdom word. That is an authority word. Man was to govern God's kingdom on earth. You need to think of earth as a colony of heaven. Are you tracking with me? God wants to extend an invisible kingdom into a visible world. And he created the earth. He spoke it into existence. He created man in his image. And he said, have dominion over it. Take care of it. You know, the Caribbean islands, have you ever been to the Caribbeans? There's many islands there, and they are colonies of different areas. Cuba is a colony of Spain. They speak Spanish. Haiti is a colony of France, and they speak French. The Bahamas are a colony of Great Britain. They speak English. They drink tea, and they drive on the left-hand side of the road. These colonies reflect the culture of where the king is. Are you tracking with me? And earth is supposed to reflect heaven. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, pray that my will would be done where? On earth as it is in heaven. Pray that what my kingdom is up there would be reflected down here. Hallelujah. Jesus created the earth for his pleasure. We were made in his image. A visible earth to reflect an invisible heaven. We are supposed to speak the language of heaven, enjoy the customs of heaven, reflect the culture of heaven, and we are to walk in a way that pleases the king. Jesus put a lot of emphasis on the kingdom. I've told you before that, you know, we spend a lot of time as believers, and there's nothing wrong with it, but there, when you compare this, you know, Nicodemus, Jesus saw Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel, he called him, not a teacher. He says, are you the teacher of Israel? And he told this to one man at night in a private conversation, and he only said it two times. Nick, you must be born again. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. He said it in a private conversation two times, and we repeat that as well we should. But Jesus talked more about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, than he talked about being born again. He's the king. He's coming and reclaiming his kingdom. Hallelujah. And you might say, well, you know, when Jesus went around and he was preaching, repent for the kingdom of heaven of God, pray this way, thy kingdom come. He gave us the overarching guidance, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom. He spoke about kingdom. So many people say, well, what happened? How did God lose his kingdom? Can I preach? You ever put your kids in charge of something? Are you picking up what I'm putting down? He put his kids in charge. It's yours. Thankfully, God has ownership, and he only committed to his kids rulership. He still owns it all. So he said, look, it's yours, but just don't eat of this one tree. Don't mess with that. And like most kids, they messed with it. And Satan was there, and he deceived man with a coup. He overthrew the kingdom with deception, and man cooperated in a treasonous act of sin. Man expressed his independence, and sin came into this world. And the bad thing about that is when colonies declare their independence, they lose the safety, the protection, the provision of the motherland. When man declared independence, he cut off the supply. Heaven's intentions are no longer on this earth. We were governors, so to speak, and the governors became a slave. The scripture calls it the fall. said, the day you eat of that fruit of that tree, you will die. And we know they did not die a physical death immediately, but there was a separation that took place. Sin entered the world, and you and I have never walked a day on this earth without the effects of sin in us, on us, around us. We do not know what total liberation feels like. Oh, but we will one day. Hallelujah. I feel pretty good tonight. I hope you do too. But the best I've ever felt in my life is not going to be compared to that day when that trumpet sounds and he comes again. Hallelujah. So that fall, that rebellion has that universal effect. And this is where people question, if God is so good, why is there war? Why is there sickness? Why is there evil? Why is there disaster? Because this is not the world that he intended. This is Satan's perversion of that world. Jesus is the king, but he did say that Satan was the prince of this world. Not the king of this world, but the prince of this world. Notice when you examine Jesus' response to Pilate, he makes this statement, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. I was reading night before last this where they came to the garden to get Jesus. And I've never had noticed this before. They come to get him, and Jesus actually gets up and walks towards the band of soldiers that come in after him. And he says, who are you seeking? They said, Jesus. He said, I am he. And they all fell back. They just fell over. They got up, and he says, who are you seeking? They said, Jesus. They fell over again. I love the way he played with them there, man. And I guess that inspired Peter, because when they came, he took his sword out and cut the servant of the high priest. He cut his ear off. And Jesus said, no, Peter. Here, you're all better now. Put your ear back on. You see, Jesus said, if my kingdom of this world, my servants would fight. Some of us like to fight. We like to get into it. But God never intended man to rule over one another. God never intended for that to happen. But after the fall, man begins to dominate one another. We see Cain dominating Abel. We see Egypt is enslaves Israel. The ites begin to pop up. The Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Stalactites, all the ites. Empires begin to come on the scene. The Babylonian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Phoenician Empire, the Roman Empire, the Grecian Empire just went on and on. And now in our modern era, man in all his wisdom, his modern wisdom, has devised other ways to govern himself. Dictatorships, communism, socialism. And of course the Americans came up with democracy, a democratic republic. That's man's idea, and it's a pretty good idea, but it's not God's idea. And we see democracy failing us all around us. John Adams, one of our founders, said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. Democracy will fail if we lose our moorings with God. And America, we know, has pushed God out. We don't hear words anymore like divine providence. If you go and read back some of the historical writings of our forefathers, words like divine providence were in their writings. That God's divine providence will prevail on our situation. We don't hear that kind of talk anymore. We the people have become equal to we are the God of ourselves. And majority rule is subject to the values of the majority. And I can't find a place in Scripture where the majority was ever right. If you find one, please let me know. And today we have no prayer in schools. We have nativity scenes that are pushed out. The Ten Commandments are put to the side. Things are legal in the land that are not right before God. And we are told that the leading cause of death is heart disease and cancer. In 2016, heart disease took 645,000 people off the scene. Cancer took 598,000 people off the scene. But those two are not the leading cause. And that same year, abortion took 892,000 people off the scene. But you won't hear that in the statistics. Democracy is failing, and its influence is corrupting Christian thinking. American Christians, we struggle because we approach God with a Western mindset. The concept of king is not on our radar screen because we have rights, we have opinions, we have entitlements. We are an independent, self-determined, and individual people. But let me tell you, kings are not subject to a majority vote. King is the ultimate authority. That's why Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do the things that I have told you to do?" He, Jesus, has creative rights, total ownership, because he created it all. And we don't make him king. He is the king. And hopefully you acknowledge his kingship, and by the act of your will, you surrender to his kingship. But I tell you what, folks, aren't you glad that the citizens' welfare is the responsibility of the king? And Jesus is a benevolent king. He did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he doesn't kill us, he dies for us. For this cause I was born, the king coming to reclaim my kingdom. Hallelujah. He doesn't kill us, but he dies for us. And because you and I, you see, if Jesus wanted to just get the kingdom back, that's no problem for him. He just comes, he throws Satan off the scene and gets it back, but that leaves you and I in a bad situation. Because we have lost something. And he loves us so much that he wants to get us back. And because you and I are human beings, and we are subject to death, Jesus left his divinity and the glory of heaven, and he put on humanity, and he came down to this earth to die for you and me, because God can't die, and someone had to die for our sins. And because God can't die, Jesus became a human so that he could die, and in dying he could break the power of the devil. And in dying, he could defeat death. And he told the apostle John, he said, "Behold," John is on the Isle of Patmos for the cause of Christ. And he says, he appears to John, he says, "Behold, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death." Hallelujah. That's what our king did for you and me. And this is why the angel told Joseph, "Don't be afraid to take Mary for your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And that's why the angel Gabriel told Mary, said, "He, Jesus, will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And that's why the heavenly host visited the shepherds. And they said to the shepherds, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for there which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is why we celebrate Christmas, and this is why we celebrate Easter, to remember his birth, to remember his death, and we honor our benevolent King, our humble servant, our brother. He says, I'm your brother, our risen Savior, and our coming King. And he asked his 12 apostles at the Last Supper, he said, remember my death until I come again. And that's why we have this table here. And this table, the communion table, is a special time. We have the bread that Jesus took up at the Last Supper, and he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. I want you, when you take of the bread, I want you to remember my body, which is broken for you. And he took the juice, the wine, and he says, this represents the new covenant, the blood that I spilt on the cross for you. And what I want to do as we close here, Lisa will and Jenny will lead us in a song, but as we go through this, I want you to get up and come and get you a piece of bread and a cup and return to your seat and just take those elements. But I'm asking you to take a moment of privacy in the middle of the crowd, create a little dome of silence around you, so to speak, and I'm asking you to make a new commitment to Christ tonight. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to speak to each one of us a new revelation of the sacrifice that Jesus left when he left heaven, the sacrifice that he made to come here. Amen. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 22:14, it says, when the hour had come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, take this, divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God. comes. And he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Lisa, please lead us, and please come and share that moment between you and the Lord. Let's all stand as we have our communion time. But just give him a round of applause and a shout. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, our coming King. We bless your holy name. You are great. You do mighty things, oh God. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. God, you're so good. Praise God. I'd like for you to just position yourself for a blessing. I want to give you a nice Christmas blessing to go out with. And God, I thank you for these people here. I pray that you would shower them with spiritual wisdom and revelation. And they would be filled with the knowledge of your will. Enlightened to know the hope of your calling and experience the greatness of your power. I pray that each one would walk in the way that pleases you. And each one would be fruitful in good works. Lord, I pray that each one would be strengthened with your might and be thankful in all things, your kindness and grace displayed through each one of them. And Lord, I pray that the true meaning of Christmas would envelop them and their families tonight and tomorrow and in the days to come and in the coming year, and they would be filled with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Hang around and enjoy.